Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Our scripture today is from Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Lent is traditionally the time when Christians participate in deep reflections on their faith. We spend these 40 days in prayer and study with God as we work at deepening our relationship with God. Methodists have specific faith traditions, but along with all other Christians, we accept the beliefs that are stated in the Apostles' Creed as a succinct summary of faith. Every week through Easter, we are going to be exploring a component of the Creed. Today, we begin with the first sentence. Will you please join me as we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I love being a Methodist. Our theology speaks to me in powerful ways. Or perhaps I should say that God speaks to me in powerful ways through our theology. So as I was working on the sermon this week, I decided to begin our discussion about God by offering the perspective of the Methodist faith. I decided to introduce you to the beauty and poetry of the Book of Discipline. As Brenda was in the kitchen preparing lunches for the kids, and I was in my chair writing away, I said, "Brenda, pray for me." In my sermon this week, I'm going to try to convince the congregation that spending time in the Book of Discipline is really fun. Brenda stopped what she was doing and said, "You have a very strange idea of fun. It seems to me that when people talk about the discipline, they don't try to make it fun. They try to make fun of it." Show the congregation a video and leave it at that. If you try to teach the Book of Discipline, your congregation is going to think they went to church and ended up at the DMV. Sometimes, God calls us to do almost impossible tasks, and it is our faith that carries us through. I have faith that today, you will begin to see the beauty and poetry of the Methodist faith as recorded in our Book of Discipline. Listen to this poetry. Our heritage in doctrine and our present theological task focus upon the renewed grasp of the sovereignty of God and God's love in Christ amid the continuing crises of human existence. Our forebears in faith affirmed the ancient Christian message is found in the apostolic witness, even as they plied it anew in their own circumstances. Their preaching and teaching were grounded in Scripture, informed by the Christian tradition, enlivened in experience, and tested by reason. Their labors inspire and inform our attempts to convey the saving gospel to our world with its needs and aspirations. That last line is a summary of what it means to be Methodist. Their labors inspire and inform our attempts to convey the saving gospel to our world with its needs and aspirations. You see, we realize that heaven is not a place. It is a relationship. And we can enter that relationship today as we work with God in transforming the world. The world that desperately needs the saving message of God, that God is here. And God can transform our lives. Let me repeat the poetry of what it means to be a Methodist. Our faith is grounded in Scripture, informed by the Christian traditions, enlivened by experience, and tested by reason. Methodism is one of the most challenging Christian traditions because we are called to actively live into our relationship with God. We are called to test our faith by living it. In Methodism, there is no such thing as blind faith. We are not allowed to pontificate in ivory towers. We are called to actually live our faith in community. And the interaction between God and human beings as we live our faith is called theology. In the Book of Discipline, paragraph 105, section 4, our theological task. I think perhaps the reason why the Book of Discipline has such a bad name or a connotation of boringness is because it is arranged as a contractual document, arranged in paragraphs. But listen to these words in paragraph 105. Our theological task is both critical and constructive. In describing God, it is critical in that we test various expressions of faith by asking, are they true? Are they appropriate, clear, cogent, credible? Are they based on love? Do our descriptions of God provide the church and its members with a witness that is faithful to the gospel, as reflected in our own living heritage, and that it is authentic and convincing in light of human experience and the present state of human knowledge? Oh, far too often we hold our beliefs in that ivory tower. Our beliefs about God held blindly without being tested. As Methodists, we are called to practice our faith, and we are called to live our faith so that other people will see God at work in us and through us. By doing so, we experience God, and we know God is with us. But just as importantly, other people start to wonder what it is that is different about us. And we can explain to them, God is working through us. While the nature of God does not change, our human circumstances and cultural context are changing very rapidly. As Methodists, we are called to speak God into these contexts. Slide 2, or section 2 that I'd like to talk about from the discipline, says our theological task is constructive in that every generation must appropriate creatively the wisdom of the past and seek God in our current midst, in order to think afresh about God, revelation, sin, redemption, worship, the church, freedom, justice, moral responsibility, and other significant theological concerns. You see, salvation is not something that happens after we die. Salvation is what happens when we start to experience God and God changes us, gives us freedom, helps us realize that there are other ways to live than the ways we have been living, and allows us to have the courage to live that way publicly. The discipline says our summons is to understand and receive the gospel promises in our troubled and uncertain times. Our summons is to understand how God is at work today in our current context. The discipline also says, with Christians of other communions, we confess belief in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This confession embraces the biblical witness to God's activity in creation, encompasses God's gracious self-involvement in the dramas of history, and anticipates the consummation of God's reign. The creed, the created order, is designed for the well-being of all creatures as the place of human dwelling in covenant with God. However, we have broken that covenant, become estranged from God, wounded ourselves and one another, and wreaked havoc through the natural order. We stand in need of redemption. And that need of redemption is salvation. The Methodist faith, the foundation of our faith, is based on the fundamental attribute of God, and that is that God is gracious. God loves graciously. And God loves us no matter what it is that we have done to separate ourselves from God. And separating ourselves from God is the meaning of sin. Because God truly loves us, in spite of our willful attitudes and behaviors that separate us from the ever-present God, God judges us, summons us to repentance, pardons us, receives us by that grace given to us in Jesus Christ, and gives us hope of life eternal. Notice the order in the book of discipline. God judges us, summons us to repentance, pardons us. At the beginning of our relationship with God, God identifies for us how our behavior separates us from God. Methodists believe the exact opposite of many traditions. God does not wait until we die to judge us. God is judging us right now. Now, I know that none of us like to be judged, but God wants us to experience abundant life. God judges us because God wants us to grow. God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. God created us so that we could be in loving relationship together. God is whispering to us through our conscience right now. Return to me so that you can experience how much I love you. Tell me that you haven't experienced that whisper in your conscience. Tell me that you haven't heard God judging you throughout your life, calling you to let some areas of your relationship or your life go. Calling you to let some areas of your life be part of your past so that you can live fully into your future. So as Methodists, we begin our relationship with God through grace. We call this prevenient grace. Prevenient is a term that was common in Wesley's time in the 1700s. It means coming before. So prevenient grace is the grace of God calling us before we are even ready to admit that God is real. You see, judgment is actually grace. Judgment is God saying, come to me. It just feels like punishment. It just feels difficult because we don't want to change. But when we do decide to change, that is, in Methodist terminology, justifying grace. The moment that we say, yes, God, I choose to change. Yes, God, I choose to follow you. Yes, God, I choose to change the way I live. We are justified in the eyes of God. Justifying grace means God welcomes us back into relationship. That is the very sum of the prodigal son story. The moment that the prodigal son realizes that his father would welcome him back, even covered in pig manure, he is justified in the eyes of his father, even though he doesn't know it yet. But when the son is wallowing in total despair, somehow, some way, he hears God whisper, return to me. At that moment, as Methodists, we are justified. From that moment forward, we live in the process of sanctification, or sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is God working within us to transform us over the course of our lives into being completely united with God in thought, word, and deed. That state, at some point, we hope, before we die, is called perfecting grace, or Christian perfection, from the Methodist terminology. It doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it means that we are seeing the world through God's eyes, that we are seeing as Jesus sees, and that we are doing everything we can to love as God loves. When as Methodists we say that God is loving and gracious, we are speaking in terms of relationship. God created us so that we could be in relationship with God. Not after we die, of course after we die, but today. And we often experience God most powerfully when we look back over our lives and see how God has changed us. I am completely different today than I was 10 years ago. I can actually see how God has transformed me as I have dedicated myself to building a relationship with God. I have built that relationship with God by serving God through serving those who are in need. That is how we are all called to build a relationship with God. Today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am in relationship with God. I know God is with me. I know God is loving me and gracious to me because I give my life to God and God gives me life. You see, it was God who remembered me in my low estate, by which the psalmist means lowliness, shame, and humiliation. For God's steadfast love endures forever. It was God who rescued me from my foes, which are my fears. For God's steadfast love endures forever. It is God who feeds me along with all people. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.